If you would this evening, turn with me to Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians chapter number 4. This message tonight is going to be, obviously, as Jeff had already mentioned, a lot of prayer. And I told you this morning, we are speaking on prayer and the hope of prayer. As we look in this book of Colossians chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 2 through 4, but we're going to be looking more. I'm already going to tell you what is the main thing we're looking in this. We're looking at a man in Paul who is coming and he is asking for prayer. He's encouraging prayer. And basically the idea is there are things to pray for. There are things on his mind that Paul is going to be saying. These are things that I ask you to pray for. And so tonight, we're going to try something a little different. I've never tried this before. I can't say I've seen this done before, but it doesn't mean nobody has ever done this. As we go through this message tonight, we are going to be pausing at various times to pray. And specifically, as we pray for our VBS this week, and so I'll have a few topics that we'll pray for, and I'll call on a few different men in the church to ask them to pray this evening. And so tonight, if you see a different service, if it colossally bombs, I don't have any plans in the near future to do it again. So, but we'll see. We're going to trust God with VBS this week. Follow along with me as I read out of Colossians chapter number 4. It says in verse 2, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak." How can we this week have an impact for Christ? How can we reach people perhaps who the only time they might come to church during the year is if they drop their kids off, or maybe mom and dad come and they stay? How are we going to see people truly saved if they really don't even listen? I believe the answer comes in prayer. How do we reach a lost and dying world? Well, we need to pray to God. How are we going to have a week that is successful? I think we need to be bathing such a program in prayer. Someone has once said, "The history of the church's progress is the history of prayer." Colossians chapter 3 and chapter 4, as we're in tonight, it deals with a very practical Christianity, one that flows out of a life that is built in Christ. As Christians who we are co-resurrected with Christ, our walk, our relationship with Christ is thus affected. How do we live as husbands and wives? How do we obey as children? How do fathers discipline children? How do employees respond and employers respond? As the Apostle Paul is now, he's showing that our life in Christ affects how we live in this world, how we are to face and interact with people who are even unbelievers. And tonight, we're looking at this with the idea that the answer is prayer. We need to have a life that is saturated with prayer. We need to have churches that are filled with prayer. And we need to have ministries that we are praying for. As I've said in the past, and it's not original to me, that prayer is not the preparation for the work. Prayer is part of the work. And so tonight, I'm going to ask that we begin first, and we're going to have our first prayer. We're going to have five prayers this evening during the sermon. The first one, I'm going to ask if Brother Jason Fraser wouldn't mind praying for. I'm going to ask specifically, Jason, that you pray for God to be glorified this week in VBS. Our desire is to worship God. Our desire is to praise his name and others to hear it. So, Jason, if you wouldn't mind, would you pray this evening for God to be glorified during VBS this week?
Father, we come to you today, Lord. We thank you for our church. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you, Lord. And for our pastor, we did.
Amen. Thank you, Jason. First thing I want us to see tonight is that we are to be watching in prayer. As we've read verses 2 through 4, I want us to first see in verse 2 that there is a prayer which perseveres. In verse 2, Paul says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." For a Christian to experience real life in a real world, the Christian must be devoted to prayer. Our churches must be centered with prayer. This really could have been translated, be constantly and continually devoting yourself to prayer. It implies a spirit of fervor, a persistence, perseverance, that we do not give up in prayer. We have to stick with it. In fact, we could even look at other passages that would echo this. In Luke chapter 18, in verses 1 through 5, God's word says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her canning. You see, Jesus had spoke on the insistence of prayer. Don't give up. Keep praying. Be fervent in it. Keep going. One of the very first indications that our spiritual life is slipping or our church is failing is when we stop praying. When we start to make excuses for our lack of prayer or begin to think that prayer is unimportant. And John Bunyan even once said, "Prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit for such things as God has promised and or according to his word for the good of the church with submission and faith to do the will of God." We are called to pray. Prayer is important. It is a crucial part of the Christian life. A prayerless Christian is really a contradiction. It doesn't make sense as we are commanded to be people of prayer. A mature Christian should be one who is praying. With prayer, we grow. With prayer, we commune with God. With prayer, it's a means to resist temptations. As someone has once said, if prayer does not drive sin out of your life, sin will drive prayer out. Prayer is important. It is to be constant and steady. As 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, pray continually or pray without ceasing. Literally, this means you're praying with a frequency, kind of like that cough, that hacking cough that you just can't get rid of, and it just keeps coming and you can't stop it. It says pray and keep praying. Such as the like breathing is to the human body, so is prayer essential in the Christian's life. You know, if we're being honest this evening, I would say each and every one of us, yes, I'm including myself here, each and every one of us has times when we say, you know, it feels like my prayers are just going up to the ceiling. It seems as if my prayers aren't going anywhere. You know what we should do when that happens? Keep praying. Don't stop praying. When it is hardest to pray, we should pray all the more hard. We must pray through these valleys and these difficulties. And the Christian here in verse 2, though, is not only told to pray, but it says being watchful in it. Literally, to watch means keep awake. It's an idea of constant spiritual alertness. We are to be constantly aware and in prayer. It reminds of when Jesus, he was at Gethsemane and he was praying, and he comes back and the disciples had fallen asleep, and Jesus asked them, could you not keep watch for 1 hour? And could you not last this little bit without falling into temptation? He says, the spirit is willing, but the body or the flesh is weak. Have you ever experienced that? You don't need to raise hands. It's just rhetorical. But if you all experience, you have that zeal to pray, you're excited about prayer, you're like, I'm going to put the time into it, and you sit down, and after a little while, maybe you fall asleep. It's early in the morning. Maybe instead, as you're praying, your mind gets a little distracted, and before you know it, you're going, how in the world am I on this? I thought I was praying. Friends, this happens to me. It happens more than I like to admit. I get distracted in prayer, or if I'm laying in bed at night and next thing I know, my alarms are going off. Paul says, stay awake, be alert, be on guard against these wandering thoughts. This is how important prayer is. It is important to the spiritual life as we are in dark places and times of temptation. He says, be careful, be alert, being praying constantly. But he adds this touch here in verse 2, and do so with thanksgiving. Pray with a spirit of thanksgiving. It's an idea of humility and gratefulness. Praising God for, God, we trust in what you are going to do and how you are going to work. And so the first thing tonight, as we look at prayer, is the idea that we need to be praying with perseverance, or pray for perseverance. And so our second prayer this evening, we prayed first for God to be glorified. And this time, I'm going to ask Mick Hall, right where he's at, if he would pray. Mick, if you would pray for perseverance, pray for health and safety this week. Health of our workers, the kids, safety in all that we do. But pray that we'd be faithful and persevere this week.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come to you, that you allow us a little speck to come directly to your throne. And we pray about this vacation Bible school, Lord, that we'd use it for your honor and your glory. And you'd give us the keeping on to keeping on. Give us safety throughout it. Give us rest to keep on going. And we pray for every worker here, Lord. And we just thank you for the opportunity that you trust us enough with these kids that we would do this for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mick. As we continue tonight on our topic of prayer, look with me at the beginning of verse number 3. As Paul continues on asking for prayer and instructing on prayer, he says, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word. Paul, as he's talking to the Colossians here, he's asking them to pray for him and others who are ministering with them, people such as Epaphras and Timothy. Paul is not restrained. He's not inhibited in asking others to pray for him. Paul doesn't see this as a matter of weakness. Rather, he's honest and says, we need prayer. As we are going out and doing the work, we need prayer. But you know, I think often we are hesitant to ask for prayers for ourselves. We often are hesitant to hold back and say, you know what, we don't want people to think we're weak, or we can't handle our problems, or we're sensitive, and we can justify, you know, I know people care, and I just need to trust God. Friends, we need to ask for prayer. As we work and do the ministry, we need to be praying. Paul's point is that while the Colossians were praying for themselves, he's saying it would also be good if you prayed for me. If you prayed for this work that we are doing. And specifically, what is he praying for? He's asking for prayer for opportunity to declare Christ in the way of salvation to people. Would you pray for open doors? Paul here, he is in prison as he is writing this, and he is asking for an open door to declare Christ. Isn't that kind of amazing? He's bound, he's in prison. And yet he's praying, God, would you give me opportunities, even in this imprisonment? Why is he praying? He understands that God is the one who is over salvation. And that God is the one who works in hearts. That God is the one who gives opportunities with the gospel. And so if we are to pray, God, would you use me? God, would you give me opportunities? God, when the time comes, would you give me words to say? Would you give me boldness? Would you give me sensitivity? Would you give me the right or the ability to not make an excuse and say, you know what, the timing isn't right, or this is too difficult? We need to be like Paul, as Paul would, as he's witnessing, as he's taking opportunities that God gives him. And so what does he do here in verse 3? He's saying, while you are praying and you're being faithful and praying to God, would you pray for us that God would use us? Tonight, we pray for our third prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Dan Greer, Dan, this evening, would you pray for our workers? Pray for those who are going to be involved in the kids' and adults' lives. Pray that we'd be used of God. Brother Dan.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we continue in this service, we just thank you for the opportunity to pray and bring these requests before you. We do pray for our workers in Bible school this week. Thank you for providing each and every one and their willingness to serve there. We just pray as they have opportunity to talk to kids and teach lessons and deal with parents, that your love would be seen through them. We just pray that the gospel would be clear to those who haven't heard it, and we just pray that you would open their hearts and minds to receive it. But we just pray that each worker would be a vessel for your spirit to show God's love to those kids and those families and all that we encounter this week. So we just pray for to be used by you, and to just pray that you would open opportunities and that kids and families' lives would be changed through your word, through the gospel that's declared this week. And as Jason already prayed, we pray that you'd be honored and glorified through all of this. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Dan. Oh, continue in verse 3 and see how he continues. When he says, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word. Notice that he adds, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. He's asking for boldness specifically now of what it is he's doing. He says, give me the ability, give me the boldness to be a witness, to give the gospel without compromise, to give the mystery of Christ, to help others to see this gospel that is freely offered to both the Jews and the Gentiles. It's given to all without reservation, so they may hear the gospel and respond to Jesus Christ. And you see, here is Paul, perhaps the greatest evangelist that we've ever seen, perhaps the greatest theologian in history. And it's interesting, he's saying, pray for me to have boldness to share the gospel. You would probably sit there and go, Paul, was he really ever afraid to share the gospel? I think this tells us that he was, that he'd be nervous. It reminds me of Charles Spurgeon. You've probably heard this, if not from me, from others. Whoever he would share that every time he would come up to pray, he was or to preach, he was nervous. I've heard others say that. When I am the same way. I'm always nervous before preaching. I believe, I don't mean to put words in his mouth, but even recently, last week, I think it was last week, Alan sang, and he sang many times, but he shared how nervous he was before he came up there. Here's Paul saying, pray for me. Give me boldness. You would say, Paul didn't need that, but he's saying, I do. Here I am, I'm in prison because I was sharing the gospel, and I've been rejected for sharing the gospel. And he's saying, pray for me that I don't succumb to this weakness. I need your prayer. What a wonderful truth we have here. As Paul is put in chains for declaring Christ, it doesn't seem fair, it doesn't seem right. But he still trusted in God and what God was doing. God, even as I'm here, would you use me? And God, would you give the opportunities for your word and your gospel to go forth? Paul understood that it didn't matter the circumstance, it didn't matter the situation that he was in, that it is all God. God's children, at times we suffer, or we struggle, we go through trials and persecution, and we may not understand why, but may we be like Job, who had said many years before Paul writes this, as Job would say, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Church, this week is going to be hard. This week there's going to be distractions. Trust me, you've been there. You've seen them, whether it's a kid misbehaving. Or last year, I remember by the end of the week, COVID started coming. And we started losing people. That Sunday right after VBS, I think half our church was gone due to various health issues. Friends, there are going to be things that will distract us. And if they're distracting the workers, if they're getting us obstacles in our way, imagine what it's doing to those who are hearing the gospel. Imagine what they have going on. Maybe it's something at home. Maybe it's a relationship struggle. And maybe, who knows what is going on, but here we want to pray, God, in spite of this, like Paul, who was in prison and says, may the gospel still go forth, our prayer is that even in spite of circumstances, that God would still have young people and even other adults listening who would have open hearts to hear his word. That those distractions would be removed and they would be open to the gospel. I'm going to ask Brother Jeff Jenkins, as we have our fourth prayer this evening. Jeff, would you pray for open hearts of our kids and the adults, and that they can hear the gospel?
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord, this the privilege to pray and, Lord, to come before your throne. Thank you for Jesus Christ, Lord, who died on the cross for our sins, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we do pray for the boys and girls that you'll give us this week, for the adults that you'll give us this week, God, and I pray for open hearts. God, you are sovereign, and Lord, you've been working in their lives in different ways. And Lord, I pray as we plant and water this week, God, Lord, that they would receive the gospel. And Lord, I pray, Lord, it would be such a blessing and such a praise to your name and lifting up of your name, Lord, if we would see this week boys and girls, Lord, who would receive Christ. Lord, for your honor, for your glory. And Lord, so we thank you, Lord, for the Apostle Peter that we can teach on this week and his life, God, and what a life it was and how many twists and turns it had, Lord, but it speaks of the power of God. And I just pray, God, for open hearts for the boys and girls, Lord, that you would work in those hearts and prepare them, God, and they would receive the word. They would trust in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff. One more this evening. In verse number 4, a prayer for clarity to proclaim the gospel. Paul says in verse 4, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. He's saying, pray that I proclaim it clearly. Pray that the words I say are not misunderstood. That it is effective, that is true to your word. Paul doesn't need just boldness, but he needs to speak Christ in a way that is clear, concise, and to the point. You see, a good message can be proclaimed in a bad way. We can have something good and people, they can hear it, but we can do more harm than good. We need to speak it in a clear, concise manner, accurately, of what Christ has done. That is so important. As we share the truth of the gospel, that we are faithful to God's word, that people understand. Last thing we want is somebody to make a profession that they truly didn't understand. We don't want people just raising their hand or praying a prayer because they're afraid of, or they're in the sense that afraid of, oh, I don't know what he means. He's going to not like me if I don't raise my hand. Or my friends are doing what we want and desire is that people hear a clear gospel message. They understand the truth of God's word and they are responding to that. You see, Paul is dealing with Roman officials. I believe that he may have had hours or maybe minutes to present his case. As perhaps he would go to Nero himself, or Caesar, I mean, as perhaps he would go and have just this short opportunity. He didn't know how long he would have. And he said, God, would you give me the clarity to speak accurately, so those who hear would understand and believe that they need the forgiveness of sins, that they are destined for a punishment if they remain in their sins, but eternal life through Jesus Christ is offered. And so our fifth prayer this evening, I'm asking Brother Tim Pauley if he would pray for the gospel to go forth, for the gospel to be understood, but that those who give it can do so clearly and faithfully to God's word. Brother Tim.
Father, I just want to praise you and thank you for our salvation. And I pray that every one of us that'll be working and helping out with Bible school will just be overwhelmed with the truth of the gospel, that we were sinners. And while we were helpless and hopeless, Christ died for us, the ungodly. And so I just pray that we'll once again just be overwhelmed with that message, and also overwhelmed with the opportunity to share that with the kids and the teens and the adults and the folks that will be coming to Bible school. Lord, I pray for our teachers, for each of our teachers with the different age groups, that they will indeed be able to share the gospel in just a very clear and simple manner. Lord, have good illustrations that will help all the folks who are coming and listening to understand and hear the gospel. And I pray that there will be a clear gospel message. Lord, help every one of us who are helping out, no matter what our role is, whether it's helping with crafts or doing the refreshments or whatever it might be, we'll realize and be burdened with the fact that all of that is working together to help folks hear the gospel message. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit will be at work, Lord, with the power of the gospel, that there might be true and real decisions this week. And also, Lord, for the ongoing opportunities of Fruit from Bible School, as we have a chance to make contact with parents and families and invite them to be part of our church or to come to the kids' programs in the fall. We just pray that you will be at work in a mighty way through our Bible school, through the power of the message of the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. This evening, we've purposely kept this short. We have a busy week, church. We have a lot going on. We're going to be here each night. We're going to be ministering and working. And as we've looked at here, we've prayed a lot tonight. We've prayed a lot in the weeks to go, but as we had even heard tonight, don't stop praying. Pray each day. Pray for all these things we've been praying for the glory of God, for boldness, for the message to go forward, for open hearts, and for our workers. Pray, pray, pray. As we sing this song, I'm going to invite Jeff, if you'll go ahead and come up, brother. We're going to finish with "I Surrender All," just one stanza. If you need to come and you want to spend a moment in prayer, please do. If you need to see me, I'd be happy to speak with you. But we're going to sing this song, and then afterwards, we're going to have our meeting for VBS. Teresa, just so I know, is that downstairs in the fellowship hall? All right, we'll have that in the fellowship hall. But sing with Jeff, "I Surrender All."